Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie. Hi, what's going on?
Well, hello, Barbara, and welcome to episode 111 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 19th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to delve into the Karen Terrier. Actually, and in the AKC website, it doesn't say Karen Terrier. It just says Karen. Yeah, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it just said Karen. And we're going to learn about marshmallow root. Marshmallows are one of my favorite food groups. And we're going to do an Ask Barbara question about online reviews. So if you'd like to find our questions and submit one of your own, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, or any of the podcast consolidators. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner that helps support the show and the donation button that helps support Barbara at www.thegroompod.com. Share it with all your grooming buddies and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. Well, Barbara, another week has come and gone. Tell me about it.
Oh, I had an interesting week this week. One of the events that happened is that a Karen Terrier that I had, I don't know if you remember, but over a year ago, I had a Karen Terrier that I was hand stripping and the dog couldn't take it. And his name was Buddy. And I, in the middle of about my third time hand stripping Buddy, he was nipping and owing and crying, and he turned around, and I was trying to do on the side coat, and he turned around and looked into my face, I'm gonna cry, and gave me the most beseeching, pleading look,
like, stop doing this,
like, please.
Yep,
he was just pleading. And
thank you for listening to that. Thank you for listening to
and
that.
And I said, I get it, buddy. I'm going to talk to your dad. And the dad is a professor at the university. He's a really nice looking man of color with long graying dreadlocks.
Never hurts to be a nice looking guy.
Yeah. Kind of formal. His name, you know, he's kind of formal, and he was committed to grooming his Karen Terrier the proper way. And he was glad to find me and all of that kind of stuff and willing to pay. And then I had to tell him that Buddy was not a good candidate for hand stripping because he just couldn't tolerate it. And the owner couldn't tolerate that. I could just see him it not digesting. And sure enough, and so I gave him the option of bringing Buddy in and having me do a clippered Karen trim. And instead, he went off. You know, I didn't see him. So here we are, a year and a half, 2 years later, I get a call and I immediately recognize the name, and it's Buddy's dad. And he's now got Buddy and Baxter, who's a Karen mix that they adopted. A rescue mix. And he's no longer hand stripping.
Hooray.
And would I be willing to groom them to the breed profile? And now I've created a category in my computer. Like you define your services. And right. I now have a service that I defined as groom to breed profile.
Oh, that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, it is a great way to describe it. Thank you. I've been waiting for years for the words to come into my little pea brain. And I decided I'd use that category for when people had asked for that. You know, and then that shows, and then they get the appointment confirmation for groom to breed profile, and they get it that I get it, and we're on the same page there. We're hooked in.
So I like it.
I set him up, and the dogs came in, and boy, they were really overgrown, and they got fat. Buddy got fat.
Oh, I hate that.
Man, and I didn't say a word. I was not going to confront that man about anything.
Not going to have a repeat of last week, huh?
Yeah, no. So I didn't say anything. Somewhere down the line, I may... bring it to his attention, because it's real hard for me to overlook obesity, except for my own. And I overlook it. I've just covered up all the mirrors in my home.
You're just looking right over it.
Overlook it.
All right.
Looking it right over. Okay, so it was nice that to have a customer come back around like that, and I did a bang up job. Even Yvonne was complimenting me how good those dogs looked, and it's not hard, but we'll talk about that later. But I just want to say that kind of made my week.
That would make my week too. I have to say, first of all, because I just know I'm going to forget, so I keep thinking about it. No podcast next week, Barbara.
Oh, we get a vacation.
Yeah, I'll be on a plane Sunday morning, and then the minute my feet hit the ground, it's amusement parks and roller coasters until I have to hit the plane coming home. And I'll try to sleep, and there might be some eating and Pepsi, but that's it. Nothing else. Just amusement parks, eating, and Pepsi. And then but since we have all of this new bandwidth and storage, I will re-release one of the episodes I've taken down. But I'm just going to do a straight re-release with no intro. I just re-air an episode that we took down. So okay. I'll do that. I'm not sure which one. I'll pick a good one, though, because there's like 15 of them now.
Yeah, well, see, that gives you a good option. The taking down gives you the good option of using those in these moments.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I like it. And I think I may just keep a rotational 100 episodes up and then spit out the over 100s, come along and clean that out occasionally, and then we'll have that back stock. So that's cool. But I did want to remember to mention it to you. So guess what? You get the weekend off. I mean, at least from this job. So I just would like to stress how fantastic it is when the groomer matches the person who's getting their dog groomed. When you match their ideals, when you fit the profile, when the dog reacts the way that you want to, and all of the planets align. And just like you have this marvelous day where all in the back of your mind, you're thinking you're an absolutely horrible doodle groomer and you screwed up the doodle and maybe doodles aren't your thing. And then along comes a doodle who has a fabulous owner who has a great place for me to park my trailer and groom from, with a view of the lake, groom with a view. That's always good. That much. And
a benefit.
The dog is an 8-year-old golden doodle, and she's not small, but she's not overly big. She has a really long poodly nose. She's got a long nose under there, which is adorable. And apparently she doesn't like men, which works for me because I'm not a man. So we're good there. So I spoke to the lady, and I could tell instantly that I was a good match for this haircut on this dog. Or at least I thought I was. Over the last experience, I wasn't 100% positive. I wasn't feeling overly confident. But I knew that their expectations were within my abilities. And it was a good match. So we discussed it, and they liked the dog groomed every 3 months, which is more towards what I was thinking people who had doodles like to do. And they don't mind it if it's a little bit short, which makes it a lot easier because I can use a guard comb on the dog. And they're good with it wrinkly or they're good with it not wrinkly. They just want the head to look really full. So I took a picture of the dog, the before picture, but I was so happy with my results, I completely forgot to take an after picture. But the dog looked fabulous. I curled it back up. It wasn't overly straight. The dog's head looked very doodly. I camouflaged the long nose really well. She was delightful. She turned around. She's been groomed a gazillion times. She's 8 years old. She knows all the tricks. She was so pleasant and enjoyable to work on. And it only took me an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes because I played a little bit with the dog. The people were thrilled. They sent me an email or text message 2 hours later and said it was the best she had ever looked, ever. Oh, and it just made me feel like, okay, I'm not such a bad groomer. It was a bad fit. So what I'm bringing this up for is if it's a bad fit, folks, send the dog to somebody else. I'm not going to do that other dog. I don't need to challenge myself that hard.
You don't need to beat yourself up over and over trying to be what you're not.
Right, because there's more of these guys than there are the lady who wanted 4 inches of hair on her dog.
Right.
This is a great fit. We're happy with each other. It's even in my own neighborhood, which means they're either the first out or the first in or on my day off, which I'm totally fine with because they're not a monthly dog. And then I'm continuing to get dogs from my grooming pal here, Mrs. Mobile Danielle. And that's working out really well. So all of a sudden, all of the stress, now I'm very busy, though. Now all of a sudden, I'm really busy. And I'm looking at next Wednesday, which is the senior community health fair. And I'm going, doggone it, I wish I had that day because I need to stick dogs in there. You know, when it rains, it pours. But needless to say, I'm feeling pretty good about my skills. But I am feeling kind of sad that we're not enjoying the fabulous festivities over there at Groom Expo West in Pasadena.
I have never, it's the closest trade show and I've never made it.
I think we should plan for that. If your knees get better and your back gets under control, we should try to do that next year.
Yeah, really. Or maybe I'll be in a wheelchair.
Either way, as long as it has a motor on it, we're good.
I should have get off the pot with this walking stuff. I either got to get it together or get the wheelchair because it sucks. No, let me tell you what else sucked this week. My clipper vac.
Uh-oh.
So I've been kind of struggling with my clipper vac for a while. It's pain.
Hey, that was a really good pun. And I totally blew right past it. That your clipper vac sucked. I can't let that go. Okay.
It wasn't the sucking part that went awry, but it was the cutting part. And the clipper hasn't been cutting. And so I've been saying for more than a couple of weeks, I need to change the blade drive, you know. Right. So it just reached the point where it was obvious that I couldn't use the clipper. And so I went.
Which clippers are these? Which clippers?
IVAC.
The IVAC clipper.
And you know what? It's a fairly old clipper. And it turned out that I've refurbished it a couple of times. I've done their tune-up kit, which you take off the face plate and do that. Well, my main screws from the behind onto the faceplate are no longer, they're stripped out.
Dun, dun, dun.
So there I was with it apart and unable to put it back together. And I had to quick order a new handpiece. Fortunately, I can get one at wholesale price because I'm a distributor. So it's not terrible, terrible, but my God, I had to do doodles without a clipper vac.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, thanks. That seemed like a lot of work.
I did two of them yesterday and I just used my Andis clipper with the snap-on combs. And by the way, I have the solution to your problem, girlfriend, your problem of hurting your hands, taking the combs off.
Yeah.
You turn the clipper over and you push it off with your thumbs.
I don't know if I can do that. My thumbs hurt. That's part of my problem.
I hate it when I come up with a solution and people immediately just...
Well, because I was trying that. That's how I ended up... What I've been doing is using the edge of the table.
So what you need to do is just get yourself a little piece of wood or something.
Yeah.
That would, and then you can push it with the palm of your hand.
But that's better.
It's from the back, really works.
Okay.
I'm sorry your thumbs are that bad because it's not really that big a push.
Well, it is if they're sticky. It's like doing, so go grab a brand new one and stick it on a brand new 40 blade and see how hard that mother is to get off of there. Because I just don't use those combs. If I used them, I probably could push them off with my thumbs. But so I had a maintenance thing this week. Yeah, my generator, which I carry in the back of my Explorer, was popping off. You know, the circuit was popping. And I have had many generators in my time. And I thought, okay, what's going on? And I decided that it was probably, I needed an oil change. So I went into the auto parts store and I got a siphon and I did my oil change and it was very yucky, but it didn't quite fix the problem. It made it a little bit better, but it didn't quite fix it. So then I thought, okay, what else could it possibly be? So I pulled the air filter and the air filter was clogged. And I, of course, carry more air filters. So I put a new air filter in there and then it ran for a little bit longer before it popped off. And then I thought, okay, I'm not sure, maybe the spark plug, but I never got to the spark plug because it turned out that I had a bad plug on my shore power cord. But I needed to do the rest of it. And there's also a filter in the gas line that I'm going to switch out and I'm going to change the plug. But it turned out the cord was bad and it was causing it to get really hot and then the circuit would shut down. So what I'm telling this tale for is if, you know, your clippers aren't working and you change the drive and they're still not working, maybe it's the cord or maybe it's something else. Same with the generator. I had to go all the way through the whole maintenance step to find out that it was actually the cord. But hooray, it ran all day yesterday without shutting off. I'm very happy about that.
Because hooray, you found the bad cord. That could be a fire.
It could be a fire. In my new fancy Explorer, I would be very unhappy. I say new, it's 2006, but you know, new to me. All right. How about a trivia question, Barbara?
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So now you might know this because I believe we covered this earlier last year. I found it again and I thought, okay, let's see who was paying attention. What terrier is also known as the Rothberg Terrier? So folks, I'm looking at Barbara's face. It's blank.
It's blank. You have now seen Bee Bird with a blank face.
That is a rarity. All right. Well, I will tell you the answer at the end of the show. Well, let's hear from Best Shot, who is, I'm sure, no doubt, having a fantastic show over in Pasadena. And then we'll be back with our first appointment, which is all about the Karens. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, Barbara, here we are, Karen Terriers. I love doing them. They're one of the dogs that I have a good eye for. I enjoy hanging out with them. I have fond memories of them from my childhood. Do you have any memories of Karen's from your childhood?
No? Just Wizard of Oz.
Ah, Wizard of Oz. Well, we had a lady who lived down the street who had a Karen. And yeah, that dog was so cool because we went over to their house for big girl parties, you know, for grown-up parties. Yeah. And I would spend the whole time playing with the dog. So that dog was really, you know, I have warm recollections of that dog. So it turns out that they're from Scotland. Surprise. Not. And they're also known as the short-haired Skye Terrier, or they were until about 1909. Short-haired Skye Terrier because they come from the Isle of Skye.
Isle of Skye, yeah, but yeah, they sure don't look like a Skye Terrier.
Not in any way.
They're all grown out bad like Buddy and Baxter were this week.
Yeah, they don't at all, do they? They are working terriers with the courage for bolting of otter, foxes, and other vermin from among rocks, cliffs, and ledges on the wild shores of their misty isle. Very romantic description there.
Yes.
They love to dig. They love to go after things in the dirt. So if you've got a Karen, you probably have holes in your yard somewhere. And another thing I remember about them is they were really good dogs for hanging out with grandma, for playing with the kids in the front yard, or for going to work with dad. They kind of are an all-purpose, fairly trainable, although still terriers, so they, you know, they do have their mind, you know, their own mindset. But they're fairly trainable dogs who kind of are great family dogs. Here's a really interesting fact I found out, Barbara. They're left pawed.
No kidding.
Yep, dogs are always right or left pawed. Almost all Karen Terriers are left pawed.
How do they determine that?
Probably by putting a ball down.
Give me five and you see which paw they raise?
Yep, or if they're being dominant, which paw they hit you with. You know, there's all kinds of ways that show which leg there is their dominant leg. Like in a horse, it's the leg that leads in the gate. But in a dog, it would be the leg that paws at the toy or the, you know, the leading leg that way. So they were recognized by the AKC in 1913. And of course, the most famous Karen Terrier is Toto from The Wizard of Oz. And Toto's name was Terry, which is also the dear husband's name. And Terry was in 13 other movies, including Shirley Temple movie called Bright Eyes, which I love that. That was one of my favorite. And another famous Karen Terrier was on I Love Lucy, and it belonged to Fred. And Karen Terriers work a lot because they're trainable. Here's what the AKC says about their characteristics. That of an active, game, hardy, small working terrier of the short-legged class. Very free in its movements, strongly but not heavily built, standing well forward on its forelegs, deep in the ribs, well coupled with strong hindquarters, and presenting a well-proportioned build with a medium length of back, having a hard, weather-resistant coat, head shorter and wider than any other terrier, and well-furnished with hair giving a general foxy expression. I got to tell you, Barbara, that is one sentence. There is one period at the end that there are a lot of commas.
Well, there's commas. Thank God.
That is one sentence.
Thank God for commas.
So they run about 10 to 16 pounds, 9 to 13 inches. They have a 12 to 17 year lifespan. And I have done a 19 year old Karen Terrier that had like 8 teeth left in its mouth, had the worst breath. I'll never forget it. It's a mental imprint that I cannot lose. And here's the interesting thing. They can come in any color except white.
Ah.
Because if they're white.
White, it's a Westie.
Right. Okay, let's talk about that for a moment. Is there any difference in grooming a Westie and grooming a Karen?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start there. Is it the back is left a little longer?
It's that,
scruffier, yeah, left pattern?
It the top line, the back, is left a little longer on Cairns. You really don't want to use a 10 blade.
Don't ever.
Don't ever, please. You know, And I wouldn't do anything shorter than a five. But of course, I don't like to do anything shorter than a five on a Westie either.
Yeah, me either.
To be honest with you, I two cairns that I did, Buddy and Baxter. The reason that they came back to me was for the breed, my ability to make them look like something, he said. He just wanted them to look like something. So I could only kind of guess at what he'd been getting, and most likely it was puppy cuts.
Right.
Most likely he'd just been getting short all over, same length all over. If you're going to do same length all over, use a peach comb.
Right.
Really? No kidding. If you're going to do same length all over, Cairn or Wesley, use a peach comb. But what I used on these two was I used the next shorter blue comb on the back, and I used the peach comb on the furnishings.
Okay.
And then also I did fairly tight feet, and I was sure to get a carrot tail. Carrot tail is one of the features of the Cairn Terrier. It's one of the things they're known by.
And it's an easy tail.
And it's an easy tail, but oftentimes groomers miss that point, and they either come home with a pencil tail or a flag tail.
Right, flag tail. Did it used to be more common to see the flag tail, although never correct?
Well, never correct.
Yeah, it's never been correct, but boy, I used to see it walking down the street more.
Well, it's just a thing it's just something that got dropped out of the pet trim for a long time. I mean, it's really only in the last decade that, and you got to thank the grooming competitions.
Competitions
have done so much for kind of tightening up the breed profile styles of pet groomers, because groomers get to see what it's supposed to be like. As the grooming competition, grooming has more closely approximated show grooming than the downstream
has
more closely approximated the correct, you know. And there's really no reason on a Cairn Terrier that you can't approximate a show grooming. They're left a little bit longer maybe for the show.
I've never known an owner that didn't want it to look like Toto on The Wizard of Oz. They don't want it to look anything but just nice and scruffy and like the breed is supposed to look.
I know. You know what? I almost lost a really good Cairn Terrier one time when I took the back down with a five. And it was after I went to a show, and probably what I was looking at was Cairn Terrier that had been more recently stripped down all the way and wasn't, you know, like and that's just another thing. When you look at pictures, when you look at dog show journals, and you're looking at pictures of purebred dogs, look at several before you decide that's the proper way, because every handler puts their own mojo on the dog that they're grooming.
I noticed that in the show this year.
It's always been true. And so especially when you get into the best of breed dogs, sometimes the class dogs, they all look alike.
Right.
But you get into the best of breed dogs, and sometimes a handler is putting a little bit of emphasis here and there, and a little bit of change up on the style, and that makes that dog stand out, and if that dog starts winning, then that becomes a trend, you know.
And then we pick it up.
But so if you're gonna try to guide yourself, and this is one of the ways that I refined my grooming, was I pored over show site, and I can't remember what the other one was, but these big thick journals that get handed out at the dog shows, and they got tons of show pictures and really good photography. People spend a fortune. That's one of the big costs of showing a dog is the photography cost.
Really?
It really is. So that's my advice, is if you're going to look at the Wire Fox Terrier, get several pictures of Wire Fox Terriers and try to get them from some kind of different angles if you can. But the Carrot Tail is a pretty full tail on the Cairn.
Here's what it says in the notes book. The tail is well covered and shaped like a short, thick carrot with a pointed tip. The underside is covered with short hair, but free of all feathering. From the top, the tail should blend seamlessly into the body.
So the top of the back of the, what's the front and what's the back of the tail? That's kind of the body side of the tail should pretty much be the same length as the body.
Okay.
The underside of the tail can be a little bit shorter, but you don't want it to be, with the Westie, it can be really short on the underside of the tail.
This is another difference.
With the Cairn, you want a little fuller tail, but you don't want it to flag.
Okay. So if you did like the...
Take a blue comb, go all over, and then sculpt the tip a little bit. That's what...
Okay. Okay. Cool. I like that tip. How about the face and the head? How do they differ?
The Westie head, the difference between the Westie head and the Cairn head is that... that's harder to really nail. I can tell you what the difference is with me.
Coming from the average person who has rescued one of these dogs from a shelter and has them in their house and are not showing the dog, they virtually, it's basically the same groom to them. But to us, it is a little bit different expression. I think there's a little less ear.
There's a little bit less ear on the Westie. That's going to vary a lot at the show. And you see a lot of Cairn heads at the show that are very Westie-like lately. For me, the Cairn is a little bit more rough and ready. And the neck is a little bit fuller on the Cairn. The neck and the front is a little bit fuller on the Cairn than it is on the Westie. The front of the neck of the Westie is pretty tight. And then it goes down into tight shoulders, and the legs are straight in front of the shoulder, and then you have a little bit of a chest that sticks out. But the front of the legs are very straight. The Cairn, it's more seamless and just a little bit more chesty, and a little bit, the neck isn't as slender as it is on a Westie.
Less groomed looking, more rustic looking in appearance.
Yeah, it's a little rougher looking and a less sculpted neck for sure. Although you do want to differentiate, you do want it to be a circle, you do want it to be round. Also, the way that I groom them is that when I do a Cairn, I cut it round, and then I do a little gel in my hands, and I scrunch up the top of the crown.
Like where it usually is pancake hair?
Yeah, because neither one of those do I want them going out looking like a pancake head unless the owner says no product. The Westie that I did yesterday that I got highly complimented on, I did mousse while the dog was drying, a kind of a stiff got-to-be human mousse. That gave it some body, but it was still falling. And so then I did thick and thicker spray, and I would spray it and then lift it up with the comb. And I lifted it up, and I did the sides. I did everything, protecting the eyes really well. I sprayed the side of the head. I'm demonstrating, then you can't see it, but I'm spraying the sides of the head, and I'm lifting them out with the comb.
So are you using a coarse comb then to lift that hair up?
I just use a
whatever comb you have.
Whatever comb I have, a greyhound pretty much. And even your fingers.
Okay.
And now a greyhound comb, and I just lift it in several stages.
Okay.
There, and it just lifts it all up and then spray the whole thing. And you've got the damn wussy head without back combing it. It doesn't look like a show head, but it looks almost like a show head. And it's round and it stands out. And the most important thing is that you can lift that crown up to display just the ear tips.
Right, the point at which you started the shaving. It needs to be lifted to there,
you know,
so that the ears just peek out.
And when you cut the top of the Westie head, in fact, I do this for both Westie and Karen. How do you know what to cut? You know, I layer cut using my fingers and scissors over my fingers, and I hold the ears up, I pull the hair up, and then I cut to that point where I shaved the ears.
That's what I learned too.
Yeah. And so that gives you that hair that when you then lift it with your product, it's going to stand up to the point where you clip the ears.
Do you ever cheat with combs? I mean, on the dog's head at all? Never with a comb.
It's not that I never do, but it's just that I'm really comfortable doing this hand over scissor over finger thing, you know.
I do help myself set some length sometimes by cheating with a comb because I don't trust my artistic eye, but I always finish.
My combs. We're on the same page, Susie, with the combs. I love using my combs and I sculpt. I'm just an artist with those damn combs.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not going to say that I never use the combs on the head because I probably do. Yeah, it just helps. It just helps set length so well, you know.
Yep.
But you got to be careful on Westie Cairn heads that you don't use too short a comb and you lose volume where you need it, you know.
So if we're clippering these guys, are you going to bathe them first?
Yes.
I do. But if you're stripping them, you're not bathing them first.
Yeah, no. And sometimes, yeah, if you're stripping them, you definitely want to strip first and then just tweak it after the bath.
And this dog has a little bit of a pattern, so it's not quite a beginner stripper dog. It's more of an intermediate type stripping dog, right?
Yeah. Beginner stripping dog is the Border Terrier.
Right.
And for that matter, the Irish Terrier. Did an Irish Terrier this week. I did something different on my Irish Terrier this week. I hand strip her. I've been hand stripping her for a couple of years now.
Is this Ruby?
This is Ruby. And so, you know, what I hate about bathing my hand strip dogs is that then when you dry them, you fluff the darn jacket out and it doesn't look right. It's
right.
Not that firm, no matter how nicely you've stripped it, it doesn't come out like that firm, harsh coat. And so this time what I did is I was drying her. And so I dried the legs and everything. I blew off all the excess out of the jacket. So it was partially dried. And then I combed it with a Greyhound comb. And then I sprayed it with thick and thicker hairspray, combed it again and again.
That's interesting.
And I let it drip dry the rest of the way, and I told the owner it might be slightly damp. And
nice.
It looked great.
That's a great technique.
I was proud of myself.
Very innovative.
And the spray, you see, the spray adds the texture back into the coat. But it also helps keep it kind of tight.
So would you use a clarifying shampoo on these guys? Obviously, you don't want something that's going to soften the coat.
Yeah, so I use Show Season Texture. Perfect.
Which
is a clarifying shampoo. Yeah, a clarifying shampoo or something that's made for a textured coat.
And, any conditioner?
Sometimes Results Rinse.
That would be my choice also.
Rarely do I use conditioner on a terrier coat unless it's got tangles and a fine coat that's going to be a bitch anyway.
Right. So when I'm when I'm drying these guys,
I use blunt language.
Right. When I'm drawing these guys, I always start at the back, blowing the hair to the front so that it helps that head stand up and look like the dog's kind of in the wind blowing forward. It seems to help.
Westy and the Cairn?
Yes.
Yes. And not only from the back to the front, but from the bottom up. So, you want to blow it like you want it to dry. So you definitely do not put the dryer pointed down on the top of the dog's head, because that just flattens everything out. So you blow from the back, you blow from the front back, and you blow from the sides up.
And you put you put the mousse in there at that point?
Yeah, I put the mousse in there after I towel dry real well.
Okay. Cool. And then just finish them off and send them on their way.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. I think that covers it. Are we good?
Are we good? I think we're good.
I think we're good. All right. So let's hear from South Bark, who is also over having a marvelous show at Pasadena, where we are not. And then we're going to come back and learn all about marshmallow root.
Oh, boy.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com, or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. All right, Barbara, I love marshmallows, but I don't think marshmallows and marshmallow root are related, are they?
No, marshmallow root is really not related to marshmallows at all. But interestingly enough, I learned today that marshmallow plants were first used as food items.
Really?
We're looking at hundreds of years ago.
Indigenous people kind of thing?
Yeah, and they were, and their food use was first discovered during periods of drought and famine.
Ah, desperation.
What do we got to eat? Oh, let's try some of this shit.
Let's try this plant. See if it kills us.
So, became a delicacy.
Oh. Ha, ha, ha. Never interesting.
You know, so that was interesting. And then marshmallow root has been in use for a long time in medicinal ways, especially for sore throat and that kind of stuff.
Get out of town. A sore throat?
Yeah. And for intestinal disorders.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
You know, so here's the deal about marshmallow root. It's mucilaginous.
Excellent.
Mucilaginous.
All right.
It's high in polysaccharides and mucilaginous molecules.
Now, that must mean it's really snotty and slippery. And
yeah, it is. And a little bit sticky.
Sticky too.
So it's been used mostly, I mean, it's the historical uses were not cosmetic. They were medicinal. Okay, so it has a lot of medicinal uses. I'm not going to go into them all, but it's basically because it coated and calmed down insides, you know.
Well, that makes sense.
But especially for dry or sore throat. It's key uses. As a cosmetic ingredient, it's been used mostly in skin products. Again, for its film forming, it's used in lotions to make them more slippery without being oily.
Okay.
And
so is this like one of those commonly used alternatives for silicone?
Only recently has it been used. Okay, I could not find it in hair products.
Oh, interesting.
I did find it in one hair product, which is a company called Phyto, Phyto.
Okay.
So there was a Phyto Balm conditioner, but the recent variation of this Phyto Balm conditioner does not contain the marshmallow root.
Maybe because of the sticky part.
I think maybe I here's what I think. Now I'm going to go into pure conjecture. Okay, you ready? Because of course, what piqued our interest in the marshmallow root was this pet product that sold out of Canada that was developed, hallelujah, by a groomer.
Yeah.
So I've hesitated to be really critical. I mean, I'm so happy to have a groomer develop a product.
Yeah.
So, and this is a working groomer in Canada who developed this product, and it's a dematting, fluff drying spray. She recommends for dematting that you do it before the bath, and then rinse it out. It can be used to spot demat after the bath, but for larger dematting projects all over, she recommends it be used liberally in front of the bath. So
more like you would use Equus gel, kind of more like that?
Yeah, okay. More like that. Here's what I noticed about that product. Is that apparently it does not contain an emulsifier because they make a huge point of that every day you got to shake it and shake it and shake it real good.
All right.
Okay, so that means there's no emulsifier in there. My conjecture about why we don't see more marshmallow root in hair products is that it's hard to emulsify.
Interesting. That would make it difficult to use.
Yeah, so I I do find on one of my favorite references, the Formulator Sample Shop, that's where you can find ingredients for sale. They have marshmallow extract, and the properties that it's identified with are conditioning plus film forming.
And when would you want film forming?
Film forming, remember we talked about conditioners last week? And yes. And we talked about that all conditioning agents were film formers.
Right. Okay.
That's so. Because a conditioning agent is something that has to be left behind.
Right. Deposit on the hair. I got it.
It has to be left behind. It has to be film forming. And marshmallow extract is film forming. This website, they're selling us this stuff now. You got to remember. Marshmallow root extract is derived from the herb Althea officinalis, a plant that has long been valued for its medicinal properties. Marshmallow root extract is composed of polysaccharides. Polysaccharides and mucilaginous molecules are film-forming polymers when applied to hair, which makes marshmallow quite useful as both a conditioning agent and a styling agent. It has emollient properties and can help with detangling as well.
So it sounds great.
So that sounds very interesting, doesn't it? I actually want to try this marshmallow detangler.
Yeah, I'm not headed to Canada anytime sooner. I would grab us some.
Well, they'll ship, but it's just costly.
Yes.
And I have a limited budget for purchasing stuff to play with.
Yeah, I understand.
So, and here is some more information that says that it also has some antibacterial properties, and marshmallow extract contains flavonoids, which contain anti-inflammatory properties. So now you can see why it's become useful as a botanical in natural skin products.
Maybe it'll become the newest trend.
We may see it again. But I suspect that the reason that it's not, that I can't find it, because everybody's looking for botanicals, that it must be hard to formulate with. And I just suspecting that it has to do with emulsification. And it doesn't play well with others or something. You know?
Sounds like the likely culprit.
But it does sound like an interesting botanical. I cannot find anything about it being toxic or harmful or anything like that. It looks like a perfectly safe ingredient. But here's the deal, and here's what my guru, Susan Barclay Nichols. Susan Barclay Nichols is a formulator, and she has a blog, and it's all about formulating, and she helps teach people how to make products. Okay. So she used she fooled around a little bit with marshmallow root, and she says honestly nothing is a substitute for dimethicone, unquote. She said, I've tried so many and nothing beats the dry silkiness of dimethicone. Now, she's talking about skin products, not hair products.
Okay.
But she also says it's a barrier protectant. So, yeah, so here's what. You may be able to replace the slipperiness of silicone, but you're not going to replace the moisture barrier protection, the
lightness.
The lightness, you know, the little goes a long way. And indeed, this natural detangler, they say to use it liberally.
Right.
And she says it's a great fluff dryer. It's going to add volume. Well, that's because it's making a more thick film on the hair than does the dimethicone.
Okay. And just so people know, this is called the marshmallow spray, I think it's called.
Yeah, and it's got a big picture of a marshmallow. But that's kind of misleading because...
Because it's not that marshmallow.
It's
because
not
I would,
that marshmallow.
I'd be driving up to get it if it was. Because I love marshmallows. Well, that was really interesting, Barbara. I didn't know there were two kinds of marshmallows. I was strictly thought about the one kind of marshmallow. All right. Well, have you bought anything interesting off of Amazon lately?
No, I think I kind of pulled the reins up. Made a couple of credit card bills and freaked out. Yeah.
Well, you guys out there, we really appreciate it when you go to our website, We really appreciate it when you go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping from there, because, you know, it doesn't cost you guys anything extra, but they do support the show and it helps us very much. So we thank you for doing that. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. And let's head over to our At the Table segment, Barbara, which is all about a post that Lacey Barnett put up. And she says, here's the one question that's on my mind. I own a grooming salon, and some of my clients think that because I own the salon, I don't need to be tipped. I have accepted this. I don't accept this, by the way.
I don't accept this.
It's the same people over and over. Yeah, they're just the people who don't like to tip. What my question is would it be out of line for me to say something to the effect of, instead of leaving a monetary tip, would you mind leaving us a review on da-da-da so that we can better serve you, or something like that? She says she doesn't know how to quite word it. And I've got a big thing to say. Never discourage people from tipping. Never tell them it's okay not to tip. Right, Barbara?
Right. I mean, you don't have to make them bad and wrong.
Right.
You know, we graciously accept any gratuities. But you could put up the sign, the comical sign that Barclay made up about the 10 ways in which your grooming is different than your hairdresser or something.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
You know that one?
Yeah.
You know, come on, people. You know, that this business about the owner not getting tipped, that comes from the way dark ages.
Yeah, and it's an old practice. It should be dead and gone.
There's a Mexican expression, que pinche, you know.
cheapskate, huh?
Yeah, right. And I mean, it's just a cheapskate excuse.
Yeah,
and here's my biggest thing, a visible tip jar. Now I know this is hard when you're a mobile.
Yep.
But one of the things that has most promoted my tipping is that I have a glass tip jar with visible large bills in it.
Right.
You know, and I have people that tip 20s, and I leave them in there for other people to see, because tipping begets tipping.
Right. It's a culture.
It's a culture. You create the culture of tipping. And I don't argue with people that don't tip. I don't, you know, they certainly don't have to tip, but I have just gotten really able to not choke when, you know, I use the square and I have the tipping option on the square. And so I slide their card and it comes up with their amount, and then it comes up with the tipping option.
Yeah, that's basically a mobile's tip jar right there.
Yeah, it's a mobile's tip jar right there, because it says, here's your opportunity to tip.
Yes.
And people's, and so what people will say is, what's this? Well, you, what do you do? Say, oh, that's nothing, just disregard it, just put no tip. No, you say, this is your tipping option.
It's the opportunity to tell me how much you love me.
Yeah. I mean, and you can be gracious enough when they don't want a tip, but you need to establish the expectation that tips are appreciated.
So in requesting the reviews, don't put it in lieu of. We don't want this in lieu of a tip. We want this in addition to a tip. Right.
Yeah, you just don't want your peachy people making reviews. Actually, you want all of your people to make a review.
That's right.
So, you know, anybody that seems to be really thrilled, you know, you say, I'm so glad you're happy, and would you be willing to share your happiness with others on my Yelp page.
Or my Facebook business page. That's another good spot to put reviews. Yeah, I think that you could even have one of those placards that says, like us on Facebook and leave a review at, and then have your business Facebook page. Or like us on Yelp and leave us a review at, and put the Yelp destination on it. I think that would be perfectly acceptable. But separate the tip thing from the review thing. Don't put those two things together.
It's not an either or option.
Yeah. So, and the wording pretty much, you know, just look up, just wander around when you go into fast food restaurants or any restaurants or anything like that, and notice what other people are doing on their counters to drive reviews, because mostly food restaurants are trying to drive the food restaurants. Mostly restaurants. Yeah. I don't know. But, most restaurants will try to drive traffic to a review spot. So notice how they do it and mimic their signs. See if they're effective for you when you walk into their establishment, then use them in your establishment. That is my tip on that. All right, Barbara, how about the answer to our trivia question?
How about that?
What terrier is also known as the Rothberg Terrier? Do you remember?
I give up. I don't remember. I know you probably told me once.
It's the Bedlington.
Oh, son of a gun.
I know it.
You son of a bitch, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. There for me. Reined it in. And with that, I think we have come to the end of another fabulous show, Barbara Bird, spending another day with you. Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's such a good way to start and wind up my weeks.
I agree.
I love my Sunday mornings with you, Susie Scott.
Me too. So you guys,
and with all these groomers, thank you so much for letting us spend some time with you.
I know. Sometimes I forget it's not just you and I. So remember, guys, I will be hitting the amusement parks next week. So I'll post some exciting videos, you know, share my trip with you guys if you'd like. Otherwise, we'll do a best of groom show. All right, guys, thanks for being here this week. And join us again in 2 weeks for new content and next week for a best of show. Thanks for listening. Happy grooming. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie.
Bye, Barbara. Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.